Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network, and this is the Green Lines Podcast. Every one of these podcasts is produced to help you live an abundant life. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." I want that, don't you? The Lord has led us to produce over 1,100 episodes of this show with interviews from authors, pastors, teachers, business owners, and even noted musicians and worship leaders. All of this is done with a prayer and belief that we're not to live a life of scarcity. Let me say that again. We are not to live a life of scarcity. We're to live a life of abundance every day of our life. Live in abundance. That's what this show's about. And today's episode features a guest who offers a new perspective on abundant living. My guest today is a fairly regular guest on Green Lines. His name is Todd Nettleton. You know him from Voice of the Martyrs. They do great work and have been doing it for many years. They really care about persecuted Christians across the world. And to say care is not a big enough word. They're very active to do what they can to protect, provide for, guide, pray. They do so many different things to help the persecuted Christian wherever they are. Today we're going to talk. I just finished an amazing interview with him. You're about to hear it. But our conversation really focuses on Christians in China. I know you'll learn a lot from it. I'm excited about what you're going to hear. It's depressing. It hurts. But you need to hear it. We all need to hear it. You also need to know that you can find them on vomradio.net. There's a new podcast here on the Charisma Podcast Network called vomradio.net. So listen to that after you listen to this great interview, only because of Todd Nettleton, right now. Here he is. Todd, welcome to the Green Lines Podcast.
Thank you so much. It is always fun when we get a chance to chat.
It is, and we've been doing it pretty regular, and I like that because you guys are working hard. There's a lot of things happening, and why don't we just start with Ukraine? I don't know what you're doing there, but knowing you, you've got some things in action, and tell us what you can tell us. Don't worry about what you can't. But what are the kinds of things going on in relief nature or protecting Christians that are there?
Well, one of the things that I think is really underreported in what's going on in the Ukraine is the what happens in areas that are controlled by the Russians. And there are significant challenges for biblical disciples in those places. There is pressure. Some of it is fueled by the Russian Orthodox Church. There is some sort of back and forth between them and evangelical groups. And so when the Russians take control of an area, we do see persecution. We do see harassment of biblical disciples in those places. And so one of the things Voice of the Martyrs is doing, actually, literally almost as we speak, it is launching an effort to deliver Bibles to Ukrainian Christians. We are delivering those Bibles inside Ukraine. We are also delivering Bibles to Ukrainian Christian refugees who have had to flee the country. And a big chunk of those are going to be children's Bibles. We feel like all of these young people who maybe aren't going to school right now because they've just been displaced, they have time on their hands. What better way for them to spend it than studying God's word and being strengthened by that? So that is the effort. And like I say, literally as we speak, it is launching to get Bibles into the hands of Ukrainian Christians.
Well, I know early in the war, we heard of a pastor who was killed and maybe his family or one member of his family. There's scattering reports that Christians have been killed because they're Christians. And then others saying that, oh, no, that we wouldn't do that. We're not at war with Christians. And then, you know, we read reports and know that they are. So is there anything that any of us can do to help Voice of Martyrs, the VOM projects in what you're doing in the Ukraine? Do you have special things up on your website?
If you go to persecution.com, which is the main Voice of the Martyrs website, persecution.com, right at the top of the page, there is a project, 500,000 Bibles. We are trying to deliver 500,000 Bibles into hostile and restricted nations. And some of those Bibles are going to Ukrainian Christians. So that is one way that people can get involved is by supporting some of those Bibles. We actually have a donor who paid for the first 250,000 of those, and is now challenging the rest of us to fill in up to 500,000. And so it's a great way to kind of double the impact of your gift by that challenge. And so, and like I say, some of those Bibles are these that are being delivered to Ukrainian Christian refugees.
Well, any of us can come on to the site and buy a Bible or two.
Absolutely. You know,
it doesn't have to be 250,000 Bibles. Just come in and buy a few and be a part of that movement to get some Bibles over there. Who knows, it might fall into the Russian army hands and they might read it and get saved. You know, I've got less faith for other things than I would have for that.
Well, and in many ways, that would be coming full circle for our ministry, because our ministry was founded by Richard Wormbrand, who was a Romanian Christian. He and his wife, Shabina, actually, when their country was invaded by Russian soldiers, Richard's attitude was, praise the Lord, I've always wanted to be a missionary to Russia. Now I don't even have to go there. God has brought the Russians to me. They literally, this is in the 1940s, they met the troop trains at the train station with Gospels of John printed in the Russian language and welcomed the invading soldiers. Hey, welcome to our country. We have a gift for you. Would you like to take this? And handed out thousands of copies of the Gospel of John to those invading Russian soldiers. So like when you say, hey, some of these Bibles may fall into the hands of Russian soldiers, I can see Richard in heaven jumping up and down celebrating that if that happens.
It would, and it will. You know, let's just speak faith, because the ground has been tilled and we just have to deliver. We've got to get there and do the Spirit of God that's there and has been prepared the way. So let's honor the founder here and do what we can to make that happen.
Amen.
So that opens the door to a discussion on what's going on around and our participation, of course. We could go to persecution.com and make a difference, and let's all do what we can there. But let's also talk about what you're up to with VOMradio.net, why you're coming over to Charisma Podcast Network. This is a long-standing show of yours, and you must be up to something in doing it. So what are you doing?
Well, you know, we want to tell the stories of persecuted Christians to every Christian in America. And a lot of Christians in America listen to the Charisma Podcast Network. So for us to be present there, we are also present other places. You know, we're on Apple Podcasts. We're on the radio on more than 1,100 stations. And we want to be on the Charisma Podcast Network as well, because we want every Christian to hear the stories of our persecuted brothers and sisters. We want every Christian to be in fellowship with the body of Christ around the world. And we see CPN as a great way to reach more ears of American Christians.
Well, it sure blesses my heart and Adelaide's heart and Steve Strang and Joy Strang, everyone's heart that works here, and we work hard to do it every day for reasons to disseminate the gospel, to distribute these great interviews and these discussions, not because I'm doing anything, but because of the people we have on our shows have a lot to say. In fact, you've said a lot over the years in interviews that we've had together about the state of persecution across the world. And could you just give me a little bit of an update without going into details that make you uncomfortable? But just give us an idea of what persecution is like right now across the globe. Is this war taking the emphasis off that and it's continuing, or is it about the same?
You know, I think it's about the same. And I think for our listeners, there's probably a lot of places where Christians are persecuted that they know about, they're very familiar with. I think of China. I think of Iran. I think of North Korea. I think of Northern Nigeria. There are also some places, though, that maybe have never been on their radar. Maybe, in fact, they would have a hard time finding them on a map. But they are places of intense persecution. And I think particularly of the nation of Eritrea. I had the chance to go to Eritrea now almost 20 years ago. Some of the pastors that I met on that trip have now been in prison more than 17 years. And right now in Eritrea, and again, this is a country a lot of us would be like, where is that? Is that really a country? Several hundred Christians are currently in prison there. Not a single one of them has even been charged with a crime, let alone had a trial or had a chance to defend themselves. They simply get arrested, they disappear into the prison system there, and then they're gone for weeks or months or years or even decades. And so that's someplace I would kind of raise the flag for Eritrea, for our listeners to pray for the Christians there. Yes. Another place that is similar to that is Northern Mozambique. There are significant attacks happening in Northern Mozambique. There is a group there that has pledged allegiance to ISIS. They are going village to village, and they are specifically looking for Christians and especially pastors. We have had stories of pastors in entire families being killed or just having to run for their lives because this ISIS-affiliated group has come, and they're asking, who are the Christians? Who's the pastor? Where does he live? Oh, let's go find his house. Those kinds of things. And again, it's under the radar for most of us. It's not something we're aware of, but certainly there are brothers and sisters there that would appreciate our prayers as they go through these extremely difficult circumstances.
Well, that's really good information to have for our prayer life, for our focus, for our reading, to paying attention to these areas, just raising our awareness, opening our eyes. And that's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons I love having you on, as I get refreshed as to where the hot spots are and where we need to be praying and what I need to be studying, what I need to pay attention to. So I heard you mention that China's having difficulties, and of course, when have they not with Christians? But let's kind of visit about China for a little bit. I know you have a lot to say about it. You've got some mission work that you're doing to try to help Christians in China. So what's life like today in China for a Christian?
Probably the most significant change in China since the last time we talked is a new law there that took effect March the 1st about online religious activity. And in their minds, online religious activity is not just, hey, let's put our church service online or let's have an online prayer meeting. This would go all the way down to, hey, I want to post John 3:16 on my Facebook page. In the eyes of the Chinese government, that's online religious activity. And listen to this, according to this new law, in order to have any online religious activity, you need permission from at the provincial level, which would be the equivalent for us of the state level. So imagine if, you know, I want to post John 3:16 on my Facebook page this afternoon. So I need to get permission from the governor's office of my state in order to do that. Wow. That's what this new law means in China. Any online religious activity, you need permission from a provincial level authority for that to be legal. And if it's illegal, if you do it anyway without that permission, you can lose your internet service. Your social credit score is affected negatively, which affects your ability to travel. It affects your job prospects. It affects where you can rent an apartment. It affects your whole life. And that new law took effect in March, and that's what our brothers and sisters in China right now are dealing with.
I haven't heard of a social credit score. So it's a financial credit score that rates you how acceptable you are to the social government?
It essentially is a credit score, kind of a political credit score, really. And like you say, how loyal of a citizen are you? How good of a citizen are you? And the things that affect this is not just your religious activity, even things like if you make a restaurant reservation and then you don't show up, you're a no-show for your reservation at Chili's tonight, your social credit score goes down. The next time you want to have a job interview, the next time you want to move into a better apartment, that comes up. Wait a minute. Oh, your score is low. Sorry, you can't live here. Sorry, you can't work here. Sorry, your kids can't get an education. I mean, this is a very serious thing for everyone in China. And being a Christian is a knock against your social credit score. So it affects all of those things just by saying, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. My first loyalty is not to the Communist Party. It's to Jesus Christ. Wow. They see that as non-patriotic. They see it as borderline treasonous.
How long has this social score been going on?
That is just a great question. It's been in the last 3 to 4 years that it has really ramped up, and they've started to really use it in all of these different decisions, all these different areas of life. It's a frightening thing, really, when you think about it.
Well, don't let Biden find out about it, okay? And I just mean that as a joke. I'm not attacking him. I just don't want any of our politicians to get the wrong idea and think, hey, that might be a good way to stop some of this stuff we're trying to stop with cancel culture. How far away is cancel culture from a social score?
It's an interesting question.
Yes, one that shan't be answered today, but we'll keep our eyes open and see what we can do. So China talks a lot about being open and free, and yet their oppression on religious minorities is so large. What's really going on there? Is it the government itself, or is it from the streets up?
It's the government. And honestly, it is Xi Jinping. It's the president. It comes directly from him, works its way down. But it is driven now by the federal government in China, by the government in Beijing. 10 years ago, we would talk about China and we would say, hey, look, in this province, there's a lot of persecution. There's pastors in prison. There's churches being closed down. But hey, look over in this province, the church is operating without a lot of interference. There's quite a bit of freedom for Christians here. That's not true anymore. That situation from 10 years ago has disappeared now.
Just 10 years ago, it's gone.
Yeah, this is being driven by Xi Jinping. It's being driven by the national government. And the thing to understand about this is one of those provinces where we said, hey, there was a lot of persecution. Xi Jinping was in charge of one of those provinces. And so he saw that as part of his success. Part of what got him to be the president of the whole country was, hey, he had a reputation for controlling religion and making sure that religion was under the control of the party. So he sees that as a part of his recipe for success. So, of course, he's going to bring it with him at the national level, and he's doing that.
So as I think about the, it seems like interviews that I've done of evangelists, ministers who've been through the area through the years, come back speaking about underground home churches. Are they done? Is it a life and death situation now, or is it? Are they still happening? Is it still pretty prevalent, or is it just almost non-existent?
They certainly are still happening. There are house churches all over China. There are people who are gathering to worship together. One of the interesting things is how much pressure the government can bring to bear against a church if they really set their mind to it. I think particularly of Early Rain Covenant Church in Chengdu, their pastor, Pastor Wang Yi, is currently serving a 9-year sentence in prison. That is a church that has gotten a lot of government attention, a lot of government pressure, to the point that the government has literally on certain Sundays sent police to every known church member's house to make sure they didn't leave the house to go to church on that Sunday.
My goodness.
So the interesting thing about China
is Super Bowl. Yeah. All they got to do is put Super Bowl on or a nice soccer match.
The interesting thing about China, when you think about, 1.2 billion people, there is no problem in China that you cannot throw more manpower at.
Yes.
And that is really the attitude of the government. So, hey, if we need to send two police officers to every family's home that's a part of this church, that's no problem. We can do that. If we need to, whatever the problem is, if we need to get 35,000 internet policemen to monitor what everyone's doing online, no problem. We can do that. So they see religious expression and Christianity as a problem to be solved, and they have no lack of manpower to throw at the problem.
So is there any uprising at all? Are there any voices, any John the Baptist, who are pretty public and are doing what some of our, what in this country, I know it's completely different, but we kind of know there's opposition in where it is. Are there opposition voices that are trying to speak the name of Jesus and they're alive to tell about it?
One of those that was doing that was Pastor Wang Yi, who is now serving 9 years in prison. And, he was part of a group of pastors. I think there were more than 300 pastors that signed an open letter saying, we love our country. We pray for the leaders of our country, but our first loyalty is to Jesus Christ. And we understand that that may be costly. We understand we may have to pay a price for that, but that's the reality for us. And like I say, he was one of the first to sign that letter. He is now serving 9 years in prison. So, but there are certainly some pastors in China that have been public to say, and again, the key thing that they want to express is this is not a political movement. We're not trying to overthrow the Communist Party. We're trying to plant the kingdom of God. But to the Communist Party, they see that as a direct threat. If your loyalty is to Jesus, then your loyalty is not to the party. And they see that as a direct threat. So there are definitely some pastors that have been public, but they understand there's a price to be paid when you do that. And like I say, Pastor Wang Yi is paying that price right now.
So, brother, I mean this question tongue in cheek, not as an insult. What can you do? What could VOM do there that could make a difference against the Chinese government?
There are several things we can do that I can talk about.
Yeah,
let me frame the question that way. One of the key things that we're doing is delivering Bibles. And strengthening the church through God's word. Another thing that we are doing is helping to train leaders, helping to equip leaders to go out and lead a house church. One of the things that happens, just think about if your church is 200 people and then the government closes down your church, and so now there's 20 groups of 10 that meet in houses, that means you need 20 people who can lead a meeting. You need 20 people who can open up the Bible and share a story and share truths and pray together. And so leadership development is one of the key needs of the Chinese church. And really, as we look across at many hostile and restricted nations, they would say that's one of our key needs. We need leadership development. We need people who can take a Bible study group, take a church and move it forward or plant a new church. That's one area where Voice of the Martyrs is helping. So Bibles, leadership development, and then we are helping directly the families of Christians who are persecuted. And I can't say too much about that, but we are able to say, hey, we want to make sure that your school fees for your children can be paid while you're in prison. We want to make sure that your family still has a roof over their head while you're in prison. We can make sure that that happens and really stand with our brothers and sisters during that really difficult time.
Yes. So you've mentioned and you continually mention every time you're on the show that one of the ways that we can help the most is through prayer. So specifically, guide us, brother, in how we should be praying for China, for mission work, for the work of Voice of the Martyrs. Tell us exactly how to pray or how you would prefer we focus our prayer effort.
There's a lot of ways to pray, and I think some ways we can use our own needs to guide us. You know, when you're sitting down to a meal, pray that Christians in hostile and restricted nations have enough to eat that day, because that can be a real challenge. When you're feeling discouraged, pray that they will feel encouraged. You pray that you will feel encouraged.
Good.
One of the other things that I really encourage people to pray, and I think particularly of Pastor Wang Yi in prison right now, when I pray for him, one of the things I pray is, Lord, let him supernaturally through your Holy Spirit, let him know that I'm praying for him right now, that somebody's praying for him right now. Because I think in those difficult circumstances, one of the lies that Satan tells is, you're all by yourself here. Nobody cares about you. They've all forgotten you. And so I pray, Lord, help them to know that someone's praying for them. And I have asked Christians, and I'll never forget interviewing Gracia Burnham, who was held hostage in the Philippines, and her husband Martin was killed in a rescue attempt. And she said at different points during their captivity, which was more than a year that they were in captivity, at different points, she would look at Martin or Martin would look at her, and when they would say, somebody's praying for us right now.
Come on.
And she talked about what an encouragement that was to know, hey, right in this moment, somebody's praying for us. And so that's something that I just encourage people to pray. Lord, supernaturally, let them know right now somebody's praying for them. And I know that that makes a difference. there's another story that illustrates that, and it's from my coworker, Peter Yasek. And he was arrested in Sudan. He spent more than a year in prison there. And Peter talked about the fact that all the different prisons he was in like five different prisons. At one point, he was in a cell with ISIS fighters who were a direct threat to his life. And he said every night at 9 o'clock, the lights would go out in the prison and he would just go right off to sleep into a really peaceful, restful sleep. No matter what was going on around him, he would just go right off to sleep. And he was,
I'd like to learn from him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's the key. He found out after he got out, after more than a year in prison, he went home to the Czech Republic and he went back to his home church. And the people in his home church said, you know, Peter, we made a deal as a church that every night we're going to all set our alarms. We're going to all set our clocks every evening at 8 o'clock. We're going to stop whatever we're doing and we're going to pray for Peter. Wow. Well, 8 o'clock in the Czech Republic is 9 o'clock in Sudan, the exact time that the lights were going out and Peter was going right off into a peaceful sleep. So I know that prayer works because I've heard the stories of how it works. And so that's one of the things, you know, pray for rest, pray for God's protection, pray that they'll have enough to eat, pray for a sense of encouragement, pray for their families. This is one of the things that is on my heart as well. And again, I think of Pastor Wang Yi. Pastor Wang Yi has a young teenage son named Joshua. Joshua is actually picked up in a police car every day and taken to a Communist Party school where he can be indoctrinated all day long with stuff about, you know, God is dead. Your father is stupid for believing in God and going to prison. Why would he do that? It would be so easy for Joshua to be confused about his father's love or to be confused about anything. Pray for the children of those who are going through persecution, that God will sustain their faith and not allow them to grow bitter or grow weary or grow confused about his love. So those are just some ideas. But again, I often pray, Lord, let them know that we're praying for them because yeah. I know that that makes a huge difference.
So you have a Pray for China 2022.com campaign. Tell me about that. What are you up to there and how can we get involved?
Well, there is a website, prayforchina2022.com. We really connected this to the Olympic Games. You know, we know a lot of Christians said, we're not going to watch the Olympics in China because we know that China is persecuting our brothers and sisters. Other Christians said, hey, you know, we want to watch the Olympics. We're going to cheer on our country. We want our athletes to do well. Our hope was that, you know, whichever side of the divide you fell on that, that you would use the Olympics as a chance to pray for China and to pray for the church there, to pray for people like Pastor Wang Yi, who is in prison, and just to use that Olympic time as a daily reminder, hey, pray for China, pray for our brothers and sisters there. And remember, you know, we have family, we're competing on the athletic field, but we have relatives who live there and who are our Chinese brothers and sisters.
Yes, that's a good word. So as you put it all together, is this a real strong effort for 22 for you all, is to really focus on China? Is there a reason why they're at the top of your list?
You know, we will focus on China throughout this year just because there is such a significant number of Christians. There is such a significant amount of persecution. And because it really does seem to be getting worse. My friend Bob Fu, who formerly was imprisoned in China for his faith, says it's the worst it's been since the Cultural Revolution. And so when you start talking about a repeat of the Cultural Revolution, that certainly is not a good thing for our Chinese brothers and sisters. And so we definitely want to pray throughout this 2022 year for the country of China and especially for the church there.
Well, we can identify with our culture being the worst it's probably been since, you know, maybe the first great movement of God. You know, going back as far as we can go back and look at it, I know it can get worse. It's just pretty bad right now. The divide in our country, I've not seen it this bad. I've not read about it this bad. Maybe I've been sheltered from it, even in my reading. But one thing is certain, we have to be like Christ asks us to be, and to pray for others, to die to self, to not be selfish about our own needs, in our own humility, in faith, believing that he can impact China. When Christians like us unite, we come together and we go after this, we could see change. Do you have hope? Have you seen anything that gives you hope to say, come on, guys, it's working. This is good. We're going to make a change in China.
You know, I have hope because I know Jesus is coming back, and I know in the end he wins, and we're going to get to go to heaven. It is hard to feel hopeful in an earthly sense for China, especially because it is just changing and it is getting worse. And the other thing that particularly comes into play in China is the technology that the government has. They have facial recognition cameras everywhere. They are watching people. They are watching everything you do. And so they have the manpower and they have the technology to really control almost every aspect of people's lives. And they are using that to try to close down the gospel message. Now, we know that the gospel message can't be closed down. It can't be contained. But it is hard to think about the things that our Chinese brothers and sisters have to endure.
Well, one last question before I ask you a couple personal questions. Does China hate the United States?
They certainly see us as a competitor. And I think at the government level, they certainly see us as a competitor and maybe even an enemy. I don't think the Chinese people feel that way. I know when I have been there, I have been welcomed. They are gracious. They are fun to be around. It's a fun place to visit. But I think at the governmental level, they definitely see the U.S. as sort of their main competition for leadership in the world.
Well, tell us how you're praying right now. Guide us a little bit. Maybe share a Bible verse that really means a lot to you in this effort to help the persecuted Christians in China. Give us a little direction spiritually of where we could read, how we could study. Give us a little more that we could sink our teeth in for the Christians that really want to get involved in this. Give us a little more direction, sir.
Well, I was thinking this morning, in fact, I was in a discussion this morning about Revelation chapter 6, and it talks about the souls of those who had been slain for the gospel of Christ under the altar saying, how long, O Lord, how long do we have to wait for you to avenge us? And Jesus says, a little while longer, until the number is complete. And I think it's pretty amazing to think about the fact that at the beginning of creation, God knew the exact number of people who would give their lives for Christ, who would give their lives for the cause of the gospel. And so how long? A little while longer until the number is complete. And I pray for those who are in that number, who are, you know, even now, maybe being put to the test. Are you willing to die for your faith in Christ? I would encourage each of us who are listening to pray for them and to know that God knows about them. He knew they were part of that number at the beginning of creation. He knew that, and he knows the exact number. The other verse then that immediately comes to my mind after that is in Hebrews chapter 11, where it says, those of whom the world was not worthy. Literally, these are people who are too good for this world, and we get a chance to know their stories. We get a chance to pray for them. We get a chance to be in fellowship with them. Yes. The people that God says are too good for the world. What an incredible privilege we have to walk and to be in fellowship with them.
So the place to be is persecution.com.
That's the place.
Keep an eye on it daily. Come in and look for prayer ideas for what Lord has to say to you. Take a look at where your gifts could be used to help so many different initiatives that we didn't even get to today, which is another good reason to have you back and to see what you're focused on. But we want to remind everybody again that you have a new show, an old new show that's coming over to Charisma, new to our audience. It's VOM, V as in voice, OM, radio.net. VOM, Voice of the Martyrs, radio.net. We'd love to see you listen to the podcast there. You're going to learn a lot, and you'll be encouraged. It'll bless you, so we hope you do that. Todd, I know you're busy. I thank you so much for spending time with us. We're going to pray for you, brother, as you gain wisdom from the Lord in how to pray, what to do, how to apply your limited resources to all the great needs that are out there. It must be a daily discussion among your boards and your leadership team of where do we put these resources. Where do we go next?
it is a great challenge, and it is also a great privilege just to be a part of EOM, to be a part of God's kingdom, and to see what he's doing in these places is just an amazing privilege.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you again. I look forward to our next time with you. Pray for China. We are praying for your show and praying for the things you couldn't talk about today. But anything that you're holding back, God knows all about, and will direct our prayers for those things right to the heart of the matter.
Amen.
So we believe you, we love you, and we certainly are thankful for the ministry of Voice of the Martyrs.
Thank you so much. I always enjoy our conversation, so I look forward to the next one already.
So do I. Persecution.com. Don't miss it. And check in and keep an eye on Todd Nettleton and what they're up to. You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my producer, Adley, we like to say at the end of every show, Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And that promise is true all over the world for every person that breathes. And as you think about what you heard today and we close this podcast, pray for China. Pray for the Christians in China that they may be able to worship in freedom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, and God bless you.